This is episode number 54, Control the Narrative of Your Life.
Welcome to Your Inside Track to Success. I'm your host, Stuart Cranes, and we are here each and every week to support you in creating the life of your dreams. Each week, we have a guest or a message designed to support you in up-leveling your life, your dreams, and giving you the tools necessary to support you in getting there. Without further ado, let's start the show. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Your Inside Track to Success. I'm your host, Stuart Cranes, as always, and got another solo run today, but I want to dive right in. I actually feel like I have a message for you all this week, and so I wanted to kind of jump the line a little bit in terms of the interviews, the amazing guests that we have really chomping at the bit to get on here, share their wisdom, share their insights with you all, and want to just dive right in and talk to you guys about how we show up in the world. You know, it's actually been on my heart lately to bring up this subject. And, you know, I just want to be fully transparent with you guys, the listeners, that something that you might not know is that people that put themselves up on YouTube or on Spotify or Facebook professing to have some type of idea of how we all ought to live our lives or offering coaching or suggestions, our lives aren't really all that together too all the time. Not 100% of the time. We all have our struggles. We all have our limitations. We all have our personal Everests that we are looking to summit. And, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a super happy, joyful person all the time. I have problems too that I get to face and work on and overcome each and every day. Not all of them are worth sharing here. Some of them I like to keep close to the chest. However, people that do know me personally will know that I am actually very forthright about pretty much all the things that are coming up in my life. And I wanted to just let you know that no matter who you look up to, maybe it's me, that'd be cool if it was, but if you're looking up to a Tony Robbins or a Mel Robbins or a Jamie Kern Lima or an Ed Milet or a Lewis Howes, does not matter who they are, they have problems too. And the message for today, y'all, is that we can never control the things that are happening in our lives. We can never control the circumstances that are at play, but we can 100% control how we react to them. How do we interpret what is going on in our lives? And I've talked about it a lot on previous episodes, but the number one way that I coach people into shifting how they look at the circumstances in their lives is to get them to ask themselves, how is this situation happening for me? So no matter where you are, I guarantee you're probably going through something of some kind, some type of adversity, some type of resistance to your goal or your dream or something you'd like to do. And if you're not, you're probably not trying hard enough. Let's just call it what it is. But no matter what you are up to, you are going to be up against resistance at some point. It's not right or wrong. It's just facts. And so what I ask of you is, are you allowing yourself to give into that heavy energy, that weight, that constrictive feeling in your chest? Or are you allowing yourself to look at this objectively, treat the situation like feedback, you know, neutral events that they are, and ask yourself, how is this happening for me? Because when we step into that place of how is this situation happening for me, that puts you back into the driver's seat of your life. You are regaining control of the steering wheel. Another metaphor I love is that if you are the sole and uncontested author of your life, which we all are, that's you grabbing the pen and picking it back up and starting to write a different ending to the story that's already being written. And we are 100% in control of that all the time. You know, maybe some types of shifts take a little bit longer than others, but we are ultimately in control of how we are viewing the situations at hand and that are unfolding around us. And what that does for us, y'all, is I talked about how it puts us in the driver's seat. It gets us back into a place of leadership of our own lives, but it also allows us to feel more joy, or at least not feel angry and heavy and negative all the time. For those of you that know me, I am 34 years old as I am recording this. I have had 5 back surgeries before the age of 29. And for the first 4, it was constantly, oh my God, this is happening to me again. I can't believe this is happening. The world is so unfair. Oh, if only you knew how much I was struggling. And you know what? All that that actually served to do was push people away and erode the relationships that I had in place. My first back surgery actually took place during college. I actually have no relationships left from college, darn near, because I was choosing to be such a victim to the situation that it actually pushed other people away. I wasn't able to receive it at the time, but I'll never forget sitting in one of the cafeterias at the University of Oregon where I went, sitting next to somebody, and him just turning and looking to me and said, "Stu, do you have to be such a wet blanket all the time?" Sounds pretty harsh, right? But y'all, he was dead right. Like, I brought such a heavy energy around with me all the time that nobody wanted to be around with me, and that's how they began to associate me. Oh, Stu's here. Great. Oh, okay, guys, like, let's hang out until he starts bringing up how much pain he's in or how the world is so unfair. And it unfortunately took me losing a lot of those relationships to really get it. And so whatever you're hearing, whatever you're going through, I'm not minimizing the situations that you're in. Not at all. I guarantee you whatever it is that you're coming up against in this season of your life is very real. I'm not arguing that. What I am arguing is that you have the power to shift your perspective and your energy and therefore take some actions to get yourself out of that situation. So if you fast forward to 2018, my last back surgery was actually a result of getting staff from my 4th back surgery. Talk about unfair, y'all. I had already done it 4 times, and I knew I had to go in for a 5th, all because I didn't get cleaned out properly at the incision site. Not very fair, but when I was coming out from the anesthesia, I heard this voice. I didn't actually hear a voice, but I had this moment of clarity, this epiphanal moment, so to speak, where I didn't know how. I didn't know why, but I somehow knew that I was the common denominator in all 5 of these surgeries and that I didn't want to be in the hospital again. I didn't want to have to spend the night in the hospital ever again. And that I didn't know what it would take. I didn't know what I needed to do or who I needed to be, but dang it, I was going to figure out how to not end up in the hospital again. And y'all, I didn't have any of those answers. And fast forward almost 6 years, by the grace of God, I have not had to go back. And some days I feel less like I have the answers than other, but my commitment to figuring it out and staying in that driver's seat of my life has been the thing that has kept me healthy out of the hospital. And not only that, y'all, I completed my first half marathon last year. I am training for my second one. One of my goals for 2024 is I'm going to complete 2 of them, possibly 3. And none of that would have been possible if I hadn't shifted out of my victim mindset. And so I'm asking this to you rhetorically, but I want you to think about it. Where in your life are you showing up with a victim mindset? And how can you shift that to one of leadership? How can you grab that steering wheel again? Where do you allow other people to take the steering wheel for you? Nobody can fight for your goals or your dreams as hard as you can. Nobody's ever going to care about your goals and dreams as much as you do. We want to always have the steering wheel. And yes, we can make the decision to make a pit stop and take a break, get off on the side of the road because we've been driving really hard for an extended period of time and we need to rest. But it's a lot more powerful when it's you making that decision versus somebody driving on your behalf. Another analogy with the same idea that somebody said on a podcast that I listened to recently that I thought was brilliant. At any point in your life, have you gone to a party where you did not drive and you wanted to go home early, but your ride wanted to stay longer? Now, in the world of Uber and Lyft and all these other ride-sharing apps, it's not that big of a deal. You can just call a ride and go home. But, yo, before that happened, you were stuck. You were stuck having those boring conversations that felt super tedious, or staying up way later than your bedtime and being super tired the next day. It's those feelings of being out of control in our own life that I'm challenging you to avoid simply by how you are interpreting the situations around you, and challenging you to get into that place of ownership, that place of driving the car, so to speak. Drive your own car to the party. I feel like I've probably exhausted that metaphor on this podcast episode, but I really hope that this lands. The events in our lives are inherently neutral. It may be very difficult to feel that they are neutral, and that's okay. You are a human being. You are going to have feelings. But it's the place of ownership and the place of remaining in control and how you react that matters. I want to tell you guys a personal story real quick to kind of round out this episode. This actually happened this past Sunday at church. I am going through a personal season of my life where all of my boundaries are being tested. All of my boundaries are coming to the forefront. Anybody who is a coach is blessed to always and constantly be working on themselves. We either have coaches or we're in programs. At the bare minimum, a good coach should be reading books and listening to podcasts nonstop, because it is their job to continue to break through their own stuff, because they can only coach somebody else as far as they have broken through things in their own lives. And so, just to give you a look under the hood for what I'm working on currently, mine is boundaries, which for me is directly tied to self-worth. It actually is for most people. If you are somebody that is a people pleaser, that pours into everybody else but not yourself, really give yourself a good look in the mirror and ask yourself, how is that related to your self-worth or a lack thereof? And I can do an entire podcast episode on that. And in fact, I think I probably will, because I think it's that important. Self-worth is something that cripples so many people in their lives, and especially on achieving their dreams. So back to the story. Like I said, my boundaries, my people pleasing is such an ingrained habit of mine that it's taken years to overcome it, to understand it, really be able to see where it comes from, which for me has historically been a lack of self-worth. And y'all, it is dying a slow and ugly death. my wife can attest to it. You know, it comes up, it rears its ugly head. I'm in a place now where when I feel like my boundaries are being crossed, I actually get really angry now. I used to let people just run over me and not feel any type of way about it because that was the easy thing to do, in quotes. But now I actually get really mad and resentful and muttering all types of things under my breath that I wouldn't dare repeat here. So we are going through a season of our lives where we are volunteering in the youth ministry at our church. And y'all, when I say it is difficult and challenging and pushes all of my buttons, I'm saying it is difficult, challenging, and it pushes all of my buttons. You see, my wife and our son Tucker and I, we volunteer with the 2.5 and 3-year-olds. So imagine, if you will, a little playroom with a dozen to 15 2.5 and 3-year-olds, depending on the day. Chaos ensues. We only have them for 90 minutes, but it can feel like 3 hours, you know, with just the amount of stuff that can happen. You have to keep an eye on all of them at all times. You never know when someone's going to put something in their mouth or try to climb on something they shouldn't. It can be a very stressful thing. So this has become something that I wake up every other Sunday, because we serve in this capacity every other Sunday. I wake up with a heaviness, a tightness in my chest. I wake up anxious. I'm not my best self by any means. I'm very short-tempered. And this past Sunday, I actually spent the entire sermon, because we go to the 9 o'clock service and then serve during the 11 o'clock service. I spent the entire service grounding myself so that I could be a functional adult in service to these children and to their parents, so their parents could go enjoy the church service. You tell me what the sermon was about. I have no idea. I was so lost in my own head, grounding myself and calming myself down so I could show up and do the thing. Service ends. We walk over to the children's area, get signed in, get briefed on what we're going to do. My wife Jennifer and I are setting up the room, and due to short staffing, they actually pull my wife and my son out of the room and stick them in another room. And then I'm handed a couple other volunteers, thankfully, but who I don't know, I don't have any rapport with. And, you know, I'm told it's going to be a busy day. And sure enough, we had 15 kids. 3 of us and 2 teenage helpers managing 15 kids who could not have been rowdier, less willing to share. You know, we're throwing things. I got hit a couple times. And just when I was getting the most flustered and the most frustrated, this beautiful little girl who has to be 3 years old, she was the tallest kid in under our care, comes up to me in, I believe, is a Disney princess dress. It's bright pink. She looked absolutely adorable. And she comes up to me and says, "My name is Esther. Will you dance with me?" And I said, "Sure." And a dance to this 3-year-old girl was really just her bouncing up and down. But me bouncing up and down with her started her giggling. It started her smiling and twirling and getting more and more brave with her movements. Like, she was throwing this type of head roll into it, and she was wiggling her arms and flapping them up and down and doing what kind of looked like jumping jacks. You tell me, I don't know, but it was absolutely adorable. And somewhere in that interaction with little Esther, it actually reminded me that I am in charge of my interpretations here. This has been a stressful morning, has been nothing like how I would like to spend a Sunday after a very long work week. How could I choose joy in this moment? And so instead of continuing to be a victim and choosing that this was going to be an awful, unenjoyable experience, I chose to dance with little Esther. It turned into kind of like a Simon Says type thing, impromptu. But the shrieks of joy and laughter from her, and then the other little kids that joined in because we were having so much fun, really turned the whole day around on that experience. And so, shout out to Esther, wherever she is. Maybe I'll see her at church again. Maybe she'll be assigned to our little classroom. But she reminded me of the lesson that I'm imparting today, which is we are in charge of our interpretations and our actions. Yes, it is not fun to be in charge of 15, 2.5, and 3-year-olds who are very needy and require your constant attention for 90 minutes. But you actually can have fun and choose joy if you allow yourself to. And so leaning all the way into that little dance party dramatically changed the entire rest of that shift volunteering in church this past Sunday. I actually did the rest of it with a smile on my face. I was still very tired at the end, sure, but it made the time go by much more quickly, much more joyfully. It connected me back to the piece that I am in service, not only to my creator, but also to the people in my community. All because I chose to shift. And so whatever you are at, whatever you are up to, and whatever you find yourself saddled with, dealing with, whatever your current set of circumstances are, I know that they are difficult, and I'm not arguing that, but how can you get back in the driver's seat and back in control? For me, in this past example, it was just choosing to have fun, reminding myself that my interpretation and my decision to have fun was going to be me being back in control of this situation. And so I challenge you, where are the areas of your life where you are not presently in control? How can you shift your interpretation? How are these circumstances happening for you? And how can you start leading a life more joyfully as a result? So y'all, this has been Stuart Cranes. I am your host. As always, this is Your Inside Track to Success. We will be back next week with another inspiring message or guest. We'll see you there.